Hello, welcome today on the Sunday morning to our wisdom class call. And we're seems like a lot of people are here. Everybody is able to listen on live today. And I'm just going to unmute. Hello, everybody. Hi.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello. Hi. Good. So, let's come into this present moment. Let's just be here fully. You are already, I know. And we're going there with some good questions being asked. And so when we, as we progress, as we become more conscious, as we become more fluid, as we're less confused, there's so many ways to say that, then questions arise that are helping to make us, you know, be more clear about our practice, about what takes place, and all that is good to keep the mind of not coming in all the time and being so busy or questioning, worrying, and etc. So when we have some clarity, we can move on. It's like my Kung Fu master back then said, it's like you have steps and they're made out of concrete, right? You pour the steps and you want to make sure that each step dries. If you move on too quickly to the next step, it leaves an imprint. You want to move on to the next step only when the step is dry, it's matured, then you move on to the next one. You don't leave an imprint. You don't want to leave a past. So that's good growth. The questions regarding Kundalini. I'm going to speak about Kundalini and awakening and Maya and Leela and all these words. And unfortunately, there's not too much in the Western language about this, except the cunning fire, Holy Spirit, and there it is kind of concealed in a lot of either tradition or story, and it is a different path that is just less technical, I would say. If you look really, really deep, you'll find the techniques or the technicalities or the science is in it as well, concealed, but it's really difficult. And I know that those that are born in the West are very heavy on conditioning around it, on false constricting conditioning. So we are going to turn to that science that is very intact, and the knowledge of it, and use those words, and I'll try to reference as much as I can in different cultures. So there are two aspects that you experience in duality, and that is it's actually in your body. It's on the right side. You have the Pingala channel, the fiery channel, and the left side is your lunar channel, the cool channel, the left Ida channel. And then we have a Shushumna, which is a central channel, which is neutral. It's neither electric nor magnetic. Now, if we kind of backpedal even further, when we just follow these channels up, where they actually end, those three channels are in the third eye. Now, all the six chakras below the third eye, the sixth, the fifth, the heart, the solar plexus, the second and the base chakra, they're all experiencing this trinity. Now, then there's a gap between the sixth chakra and the crown chakra, and that is what is so difficult to jump through over, is that walking without a net, because there is no sense of I can follow you with you into that seventh chakra. The seventh chakra is, we call it the radiant lotus. It is really where there is no description and the oneness of all. Now this one is made out of two aspects. This oneness is stable and formless and completely still, and we call it Shiva. And then when this moves, then we call it Shakti, which is dynamic and creative aspect. Now, to understand, when we speak here, we have a mind. We think of two, correct? If you have ever seen pictures of Shiva Shakti, depictions where you see half of the sitting figure on being Shiva, and then the rest, the other half being Shakti, that's more what it is. It's like something that cannot be separated. It's like the word that you speak and the sound cannot be separated. Or water and the wetness, I think that's what an example is used in the East. Water is wet. Your wet is something and water is something. And so we think of Shiva as something and of Shiva as water, and the wetness, the quality is Shakti. But really, you cannot separate them. So Shiva and Shakti cannot be separated. But when we see this truth, this oneness through the mind, then they appear as two different things. They appear as water and wet, and you think they're separate. So you think of yourself as separate from the world. You see? You are water and the rest is wet, or the other way around. You think of it as two separate things, and this is what we want to wake up out of. We don't have to wake up out of a condition becoming a better person. We have to wake up out of a confusion and ignorance, as the Buddhists say. So starting with that we have the experience of this. Now when the fall happens, falling is when you, in the Western tradition, there's a fall from Eden, right? Eden is your heavenly state of oneness. Now when you fall into the embodiment, what happens is that the Shakti aspect, the dynamic aspect, matter, begins to, it's Kundalini, it begins to basically move you from the seventh chakra, and it goes to the sixth and creates, and it projects it out, and then basically builds the sixth chakras, and then it goes dormant there. Now, when the Kundalini rises and goes back home, you could say, then you go backwards. You just go backwards. The whole process, the Kundalini just activates in the Muladhara chakra and the base chakra, and then rises up and goes back. Where does it go back to? To the experience of oneness, bringing the bride and the bridegroom together. So there is a union, a marriage of spirit that takes place. Now all this is happening within you as experience. It is truly real, and what is not real is the confusion around it and the not seeing truly what all this is. That is not real, but everything else is actually real. Matter is also real. So because God, let's use a Western word, or in East I say God as well, the oneness, all that is, when it starts to move in a dynamic way and causes the Shakti to happen, then all the forms come into existence. Now I'm just bringing this, creating a bit of a platform so we understand today, again, better what happens in regards to the questions, you know, that Kim talked about here today. You have several steps, really. There are six steps in this process of Kundalini. There's the unawakened state, which is that your consciousness, your prana flows in one or the other channel. Every, I think it's 2 or 2.5 hours, it switches. In Ida, in the left side, and then it switches over to the right side. And then it switches over to the left side. That's the dualistic living. And that person will see the world through this pranic rhythm. This person will see the world in duality. It will blame, project, and will completely be locked and identified as a thing, as something, a subject-object relation. In the switching over, by the way, I've mentioned this a long time ago, there is actually a moment of almost like a split second of samadhi that happens. You're neither Ida and Pingal nor in Ida, and people feel that as a slump, and they usually will make themselves a cup of coffee because they don't know that they're actually in a state of, they're just about slipping into a state of meditation, but they don't know because they want to quickly reach over to the other side because they're not comfortable of not of experiencing something themselves as something other than an identity. So that's the first step in Kundalini awakening. Your energy just flows in one channel. The next second is that Ida and Pingala are basically kind of becoming more, the energy is flowing in both. Yeah. There's energy suddenly flowing in both. Yeah. And then what happens, the next step is that we basically make it to, it's almost like when they flow in both at the same time in the Ida and the Pingala, they get pressed. Because what happens, electromagnetic frequencies, they begin to neutralize. So what happens is suddenly it presses, the prana presses into the Shushumna channel. It starts to, because now it becomes neutral. So it's starting to flow in the Shushumna channel. When that happens, once you've neutralized the pranas, the electromagnetic energies, that starts to trigger Kundalini. So that, and what is that? That's that your pure unrealized potential of what you can be as a human being, the whole universe, really, your infinite existence, your infinite potential, it's dormant inside you, and you don't know. Most people look outside of themselves for solution. They don't know that everything's inside of them. So now Kundalini is awakened, and now it begins to go up, and it'll just go from first, it's on the bottom, you know, it's like a little fire, a glow, and it starts moving up, right? It moves up to the second, third chakra, fourth chakra. Moving from the third to the fourth is a major feat because we have to overcome projection, the egoic container of the solar plexus, and move into the heart and start to be open-minded, you know, all the stuff we learned about the heart. And then it flows up, and then eventually Kundalini will jump from the sixth chakra to the seventh, and then that's when Shakti goes back home, and you have the experience of union. Shakti and Shiva come into union, and there is, yeah, what do you experience? It's just light. There is, or nothingness. So it really depends. There's different, you know, we can't talk about it. There's no experience in itself, but a lot happens at the same time in this process. As the Kundalini begins to kind of hang out more and more, the more you begin to identify with that primordial power, and you don't even think of it as something other, because who would think that? It would be an ego, an identity, saying, oh, I have Kundalini, and Kundalini is doing this to me. There's a duality going on. Now, but as long as a full completion, a full marriage hasn't taken place of Shiva and Shakti, we continue to talk and experience a sense of duality, which is normal. It helps us also to move through life. Now, let me come more closely into what happens when, after awakening. So what does that really mean? When you wake up to what? You wake up to the fact that you're not this bunch of, that you're not separate. Your pranas are not running in the Ida or the Pingala in alternating ways anymore. That's stopped. So it's always in the core. It's always in the central channel. After awakening, you will have no control over when you suddenly meditate. Like when you go deeper, it'll just come over you, and your meditations will be longer. So if you think that you're awake or you're in a good neutral place and you're never having a natural inclination to actually go inward, that's not happening by itself. You're not awake because that just starts happening by itself. The embodying of silence and the deepening of that just happens naturally. Now, Kundalini is going to go backwards, right? So what happens is that you embodied yourself through many lifetimes, and there's all these imprints. And there are these old imprints, and they're called either vasanas or samskaras. And what happens is that when you awaken, you suddenly are being eclipsed by these things. You get the sense that you are, that, my God, you're like not really awake. But at the same time, you also know that you're not exactly where you were before. But at the same time, you're totally eclipsed by this experience, this really deep patterning. And they're very tough, these vasanas. And so that's why you continue to be vigilant and you continue to apply the practices of inquiry, or you sit in meditation, or you are doing anything of tantric, methods, and coming back of what are these practices that we do. There's really yoga, there's Vedanta, and there's tantra. And yoga is about focus and concentration, of meditation, of really learning to uncolor the mind, of making sure that we're not going to steal and lie, and, you know, some basic human kind of laws of conduct, proper diet and all that. And in Vedanta, we really inquire, who am I? We're really, really going into the subtleties of the mind, of buddhi, manas, and etc., and the will. And then in Tantra, we're working with the energies themselves, with Kundalini directly, through breathing, through the pranayamas, through the reconciliation of like these polarity processing, through how we approach life as a unified field, and everything is sacred, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So you want to continue to utilize these practices, because after waking up, the enlightenment process happens. And when you have, let's talk about light. When you see, there's a lightning. Kundalini is lightning. So Kali is the force of lightning. Kali and Kundalini, interesting, they have the same K sound. They're kind of very interrelated. And because it's sudden, it's instant. And when you have like your electrical outlets in your house, if you, for example, have an unsteady hand, and you've probably had this sometimes, you kind of, maybe it's a little dark in the room or something, and you try to plug in and you're kind of a little off, maybe, or it's not plugged in all the way, you get these sparks, right? So when your mind is unsteady, when there is too much unsteadiness and too much not enough discipline, let's put it this way, you're going to create a lot of sparks. And then the Kundalini isn't flowing directly. It's like the electricity isn't flowing directly from the source, you know, to into your, you know, plug and, you know, into your lamp, whatever you're plugging into, or your toaster, whatever it is. So you want to really make sure you're plugged in properly. And the Kundalini, the Muladhara chakra, is like like the faucet, you know, like, how do you say in English? It's like the outlet. And the other five chakras, you know, you have Kundalini, the base chakra is your first chakra, and you have your second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth chakra. You know, these are five pronged system. These chakras, they plug into Kundalini. You have to plug all in into the Muladhara chakra so that the Kundalini can flow, your electricity can flow through. And then your seventh chakra, your lotus, the halo, it's your light bulb, just goes on. So you know that you have imprints, like heavy imprints, these vasanas or samskaras from past lives. And they're in the story, your story, your identity is written in your chakras, you know, or an astrologist would say they're written in your planets out there. But, you know, the microcosm is all the same thing. So your story is written in your chakras. And as you are having this electricity run through, it's going to not run clear. It's not going to, because there's blockages, right? So if you're going to have sparks, it's going to heat up, you know. Some of your wiring might get a little overheated, you know. It can't carry enough of the voltage and all these things. As this happens, Kundalini isn't bad. It's not Kundalini doing it. You have to understand, it's your resistance as you, as identification to it. No, it's also not your fault. It's because these are vasanas, these are old vasanas that are really heavy. and you don't even know what they are, right? How many lifetimes have we had? Not just as humans, right? So much. And so it basically begins to all be, these spots begin to disappear, clear, we say clear, expand. And so, yes, after you, the way Kim described here, it's like setting the foundation. What did you say here? That you take off, you create a foundation, and I can't find the spot exactly, and then you basically begin to do a deep cleansing. Yes, then the enlightenment process happens, because you can't become enlightened. The enlightenment process and experience to the person that then stops, and then the whole story of becoming enlightened goes away too, because that can only take place within time and space, right? It's an experience. And then you're just here, and you come here over and over again in a deeper way. And regarding the light, and please, Kim, let me know if there's something else I can say to that. Louise was saying about Maya and the light. Let me. What's Maya? Maya is the power of Shakti to veil, the veiling power. Because everything that we experience is Shakti, right? You can only experience Shakti. And so Shakti is veiling and creating forms. You can see the tree outside the window. You can see people. So it veils reality. At the same time, it also reveals and liberates you, right? So it does both. So this is the choice that we have. Do we use this power to unveil or to create more ignorance? Yeah, it's there's nothing bad or evil anywhere. It's just, what do we do with it? Now, when you are past the heart chakra and it goes up to the third eye, especially, but it's also in the heart already, you're going to start seeing light. So you're going to start to have sort of already a glow. And then, you know, you go to the third eye and you start seeing light. And many of you see it or feel it or know it. And so the experience of Kundalini changes depending on where you're at, what level, what angle of perspective you're taking. When the Kundalini is in the lower triangle, that's a yogic expression of the lower three chakras, and then the upper triangle is the upper three chakras. Then when it's in the lower three chakras, there's a sense of flow, because time and space, you're so much a person that's relating to others. And now we're moving to the heart, there's suddenly an equilibrium starting to happen. And then we go beyond the heart. Now we're going past this concept of duality, right? Working ourselves away from the duality. So when we get out of duality, there is no flow of Shakti anymore, or prana happening. There is more of an emanation or a glow or radiance happening, right? And that begins the radiating light. And radiating is still part of, you know, something radiates from here to there. There can still be an experience of time and space, but it can become more and more still. When everything collapses and then you don't know who is what. Are you the light? Is the light there? There's no separation, all this stuff. So that's Kundalini once it becomes freed, and it has, when it joins, right? When Shakti and Shiva join, the light bulb goes on, poof. And then you basically experience this union. Now, why do have some people have more burning and drama? What I can say to that is, from my own experience and observations, is that having also gone through menopause, because menopause has to do with Kundalini as well, all the heat, there's a transformation going on naturally for women, right? If you are, let's say you're in a relationship, and each time you have a sex and there's an orgasm, there is Kundalini being released, yeah? And for most people, it's basically in a very small area. And then sometimes people have experiences of orgasmic release in the whole body or more in different ways. Although some people think it always has to be a certain way, but it's kind of, there's really no limit to how this experience of pleasure in the body in union with another person can happen. And of course, this can also happen without a person, because, and I think we talked about that in one of the other modules, I can't remember, because electricity and magnetism is everywhere. So if you manage them to unite them somewhere through some chakra, somewhere within you, there's a sense of orgasm. There's a sense of illumination that takes place. That orgasmic experience is more happening in a palpable way in the lower chakras, and then it is more what we call blissful or religious in the higher chakras. It's all the same thing. It's just the location is different. If you are in a relationship and there is a tremendous amount of release and you kind of release lots of that kundalini energy in that way, then you're going to have a little bit less heat. Women who menstruate are constantly releasing heat, right? They get PMSy and then all the hot blood comes out, and then they're kind of sometimes even very depleted after menstruation. Or we're calm and quiet, they don't have no raging, no hysteria, you know, all that kind of intensity that women sometimes can have. You know, you can see it sometimes in the traffic. Women can be intense when they're just about to have their period, because there's all this energy there and it needs a release, right? And so if you're in a relationship, you can actually release a lot of energy through that, through orgasmic activity, or even if you're not in a relationship, but at the same time, it's for you to choose how much your energy do you waste down, or are you going to keep in order to channel upwards. So that's a tantric practice of where you can choose what to do with all this excess heat. Now, you can't stop the evolution, but what you can do is, and this is why it's very important, again, I'm going to repeat, you have to be able to concentrate and hold your mind steady, to not be all over the place, to not get hijacked by your worries and fears and ideas of your I person. Your person is a conglomerate of ideas, and as real as it is to you, it is better now to get a handle on it, because I haven't even done a Shakti Pad at all with anybody with you, because I don't need to anymore. We are now in a time where the entire Shakti, the Kundalini of the Mother Earth itself, has activated. So people will just have their Kundalini activations and there is no preparation. And if there's no preparation, there's all this messy thinking and identification and all that stuff that goes on. And now you can imagine this power just hitting these areas, and that's painful. So if you're one of the people that don't have this right now, this intensity going through you, still, you know, gaze at your diagrams, gaze at things, make sure that you're in your third eye focused. Now the focusing of the third eye will direct the Kundalini, you know, in a proper way and allow you to go to, it's almost like it bypasses very quickly areas where you could get distracted by heat, by pain, by worry, by anxiety, by discomfort, by sleeplessness, all these things. So you have to come back to the fact that these are experiences and that's not who you are. You are not the one. You don't need sleep. You're eternity. So you have to work like that, where you are constantly inquiring who is experiencing this and who is having a hard time with this. Yeah. And if you are, inquiry is good when you're tired at night and you really just don't want to get up and do a pranayama or something. But essentially, if you have the energy, then do something else, something more where you are mechanically, like in Tantra, pushing the energies through. There's many yoga exercises and asanas and, you know, the pranayamas and even doing a nostril breathing on both sides to equalizing the breath. Again, we'll push the energies that are somewhere where the Kundalini went off into one chakra. Let's say she rose and I went poof in a third chakra. There is issues. There's vasanas in there or samskaras. And now you're trapped. You're just thinking now you have a story. And you believe it. It's all in there. And everything's so dramatic. And sometimes actually the opposite. It can be all exalting and overly blissful and all this stuff, and you don't question, like, wait a minute, like, who's really experiencing this? So you want, and So then, basically, as you're doing your pranayamas, your nostril breathing right and left side, you're actually forcing this identification that's taking place in any of the chakras to basically you detach and you, the pranas boom go back in the central channel. You have to detour back out of this detour back into the central channel and stay on the road. If you don't stay on the road, it's like driving. If you don't stay on the road, then there's barriers next to you. You crash into them. That is the pains we experience in Kundalini. So we want to be on the road. And how do you stay in the middle road? You are quiet. You're present. You're still. You don't think all the time. And if that doesn't work, say a mantra all day long in your head. Or just watch yourself breathing or something. Stay steady. Stay with what you're doing. If you're at work, be really present with what you're doing. Don't let your mind take you a moment to the next moment and say, I hope you know this day is over or something. There's something better in the future. There is no future. This is all part of the dream, right? So I hope I touched on these things. Now, after the awakening process, right, what do you really do? And it's the same really like before, but after is also important. You want to remain in the Shoshumna channel as clear as possible. You want to be either in contact with a teacher. You want to eat foods that aren't exciting your pranas in ways that are driving you crazy, really, and can't make you sleep. You want to be around people or hang out with people that are good for you. And you want to get enough sleep. You want to avoid alcohol and all these things. You know, that shouldn't even come into play anymore after you wake up, because you will notice what all that does. So, and you will also not really usually like it anymore, because you become intoxicated. You're replacing something deadening with something incredibly alive. So, okay, let's leave it at that. There's another question now that came up from somebody that emailed me this morning. I'll respect if maybe you don't want me to use your name. Is that what is the new earth, and what will it look like, and how can we assist others to make the transition to 5D? Or do we just shine our light? Is there any need to protect ourselves during the transition? Okay, 5D. 4D, 3D is an experience of an unawakened person, because it's happening. There's a timeline, right? There's from this to that. It's an experience. So we have to first foremost understand this is a concept, an idea that is part of somebody experiencing it, part of the illusion. So it's still within the dream, just very much as this module we talk about dying, that dying and being reborn is all part of the dream, of the person, of the identity that you are. So that has to be very, very clear, okay? So it's an experience. And yes, we have a collective experience of a world that has shifted and changed, and the frequencies are higher, just the way we all experience right now, a particular season. We're all collectively experiencing this. And so can we assist others to make that shift? Only by you being still, and especially 5D is the experience of not thinking, of being still, and being in your joy, and to live that. Do we have to protect ourselves? When you are in joy and when you are not thinking, you're in neutrality. Within neutrality, you're in the central channel, right? There is no good and not bad, so you can't even think about protecting, because what's there to protect? In your experience, there is no harm on the outside. When you truly believe there's no harm on the outside, you are not resonating with it. Nothing can plug into it. You're not a puzzle piece that's looking for a complementary puzzle piece. Now you can say, well, but what about my vasanas and my samskaras? There's still unconscious ways where I invite, you know, things to happen to me. All I can say to that is that your old life stories and tendencies, yes, they will play out and things happen. And the best thing you can do is to say thank you, so that this karma is being finished. So you can say thank you, God or universe. Is this it, or is there more? If you like to, it's just all it is. Because if you stay neutral, you're not causing more karma. You're basically just unraveling the old karma. If you are trying to protect yourself, you're trying to protect somebody. In that moment, you're believing in good and bad, and war and peace. And in that moment, you create karma. Karma means you are living in duality, and duality incurs debt, right? Karma is a form of debt. Something needs to be balanced. Because it's like a scale, like, or, you know, you're not in the middle, you are on the right or on the left side. And if you believe in yourself more on one side, it gets heavier. So you're out of balance. You are having a debt. You have to rebalance this at some point, because the law is that all is one and you have to rebalance. That's all it is. There's no value as if you're a good or a bad person. It's just simple mechanics. It's just simple mechanics. Just the way, if you let go of your cup of coffee, it'll just fly right to the ground. It's just laws of nature. So you don't have to protect yourself during the transition, but you have to, I suggest you live in accordance to that and embody that freedom and that joy and the stillness. Good. I talked a lot. I hope it created maybe some more questioning to deepen some things, because what can I say? I can only say things in a certain way on a different day, and somebody can hear me in a new way and something goes deeper. In regards to the preparation, again, even now that you have Kundalini awake, but even before, is to yoga nidra is the exercise that's prescribed in the East to really clear out vasanas very deeply. And the main practices of meditation on the three points that I taught you in the beginning, the center of the head, the heart, and the belly point, but not one more than the other, all equal, so that you don't get overwhelmed with what you're releasing. You are releasing first a little junk and then power. You are a powerful being. The whole universe is within you. Yeah. And so we have to do this in ways that are done exactly the way, very simply described. And in regards to going, we're now in the ninth module. So there's always, we've gone, you know, here and there. Sometimes you're interested in other things, you know, maybe there's other practices or other things to do, or maybe this is better, or maybe this doesn't apply to me, I don't like this, you know, I mean, I can hear these things, and or you think you've got it all figured out already. I would be cautious with that, because there's nothing unusual in the methods I offer you here. They're kind of really the same old proven methods, and they work, and another person will package them differently. Then that might be, let's say, more pleasant to your ego for a while. But if it doesn't cause some kind of resistance in you, or some kind of challenge, or where you have to sweat a little bit and really kind of push yourself through and make yourself grow, then it's not worth it anyway. Then you must apply yourself. You must at some point just stick it out and work with the things that really, really work and really matter. And so in this case, in terms of the Kundalini, go back and just make sure, just the way I showed to Kim, be resting in that emptiness up in the, you know, in the cave of Brahman. And be diligent about judging, thinking, engaging in thinking. Do not think all day. Do not. You cannot continue to just waste your time with thinking. And the mind will continue to think. But at this point, after months of meditating, you are expected to shut it down. To just literally just it's like a dog that goes off on, you know, on a leash. You just pull them right back. And you pull them back, and you pull them back, and you pull them back, until the dog is walking next to your legs. You don't have to say anything, and you stop. The dog stops, and you walk, and the dog walks. You walk faster, the dog walks faster. You walk slower, the dog walks slower. Just like that, your mind has that monkey mind has to be disciplined. And if it's not, then you cannot see what it causes, because all thoughts, as you know, create. So what are you creating, right? And you're always creating. So ask yourself, what are you creating in this moment? So anyway, enough talked about. So I'd like to hear if you have any more questions to that. And I'm going to go through the first caller, which is Cindy. Hi, Cindy. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Great. I just want to connect.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's powerful. What did you do, Cindy?
Working hard.
Good job. Good job. Very, very good. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Cindy. Bye. Oh, very good. Okay. This is Shelley. Hi, Shelley.
Hey. Just want to connect also.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Shelley.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. 49715, Germany, I think. Hello.
Hello.
This is Ursula. Hi, Ursula. Hi there.
Hi, Ragnar. I would like to connect, and I have also a request.
Okay. Sure. Let's connect first here. Okay, what's the request?
I wanted to ask whether you could sort of check how the renouncing is going.
Okay.
And perhaps make a suggestion how to take it deeper.
Okay, sure. So what I sense with you is that when you are in this practice, that you are there is it's almost like okay, I hope I can describe it correctly. It's almost like you're on the like an outer layer of Ursula exists. There's just a sense of Ursula there, right? Can you sense that? And then allow yourself to just it's almost like you're an egg, and this, the inside the egg you. Bring that in, just detach yourself from that idea of Ursula. It's just like a sense I get. And just kind of very gently, just kind of, it's almost like you bring yourself in the cave of Brahman almost, and you are in the heart space at the same time. They start to merge. I don't really like talk about these details, but I'll just say it right now. And as you are basically just bring your attention to that which is a little bit more in, not so much on the outside. There's still these voices of Ursula. Is this making sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the releasing, what I have done until now is just really like stating about the renouncing. Or is it more just like letting go completely and letting it happen?
I know it's an active thing because you're on the heart level and in the heart level, you're in relation with reality. So you're literally making a choice. You're just literally an act of renouncing. It's very powerful. In the third eye, it's different. It's different, right? You're just letting. But in the heart, it's different. You're making a choice. You either, it's the the forked path. You either are going to go with life or you're going with contraction and death. So you are constantly choosing to let go into life, into expansion. You're making constant, whenever there's a contraction, you just kind of, you don't have to say the word I'm renouncing, although it can sometimes help. It's this mechanism of opening up, right?
I don't get it completely, because to renounce sort of something of Ursula, I need the concept of Ursula, you know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. Yes. I know what you're saying. how can I describe? Let me just show you. The soul is your psyche, which is all of Ursula, right? It contains your personal will, your emotions and thoughts and all this. But the soul has a center, which in the East is called Atman. It has that light, that eternal part of the soul. So the trick in this practice is that you're shifting out of your psyche, because in the heart you're going to feel your entire psychological existence. The trick is to work yourself into the center of your soul. So in the heart we're being awakened in the soul. Is that easier to understand? So you're going to become the true Ursula, we could say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is this helping?
Yes. yes. I felt something in the heart. It was not like just an outflowing, not content. When you said, I will show you. And yes, like more going into the center and into the egg. I believe I understand better now.
You know, yeah, don't make it too complicated. Once you get so much mind in there, all you do, follow the instructions, very simple. Sit there and just let go. Anything that arises in that moment, because it's about in this moment, then you let that go. You just let that go. It's very simple. And everything, because you're in the heart center, you're going to meet all your psychological stuff. And so you'll just, right? Yeah. So you just, like, each time you detach from it, you just detach and you detach. You just really are not, I think in the word renouncing, there's word naming in it, namo. Namo, namon, name is namaha, is all, what am I? So what are you being? You renouncing is to not be that feeling, that idea. You're being something that cannot be described. You're being that. You don't want to name that, right?
Not that I had the impression that it wasn't working for me, but I also felt that I could go deeper.
Yes, of course you can, and you just keep doing it. And we'll went a little bit deeper right now. So yeah, just keep doing it. Explore.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks, Isla. And we're in Philadelphia. This must be is this Ruth Ann?
Yeah.
Hello. Are you back? Are you back?
I am back.
Okay. Hi there. Welcome back.
Just feeling a lot of gratitude. I wanted to express that the past couple months.
Wonderful.
Especially this week. Yeah, thank you for everything.
Thank you.
And maybe connect in a little bit of what Ursula was saying. Mm-hmm. Got some feedback on renouncing. I really love this module.
Mm-hmm.
Love the idea of letting go and letting it fill up with light.
Nice, yes. you probably found that taking this body on a trip across the world has really deepened your practice, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
A bit of a surprise because there's a lot of vata imbalance too.
I know. I know what you're saying because, you know, you don't sleep and jet lag and all this, but I can see it even in your aura. The energies are penetrating down now into the light, is pushing into the solar plexus. And because we are unplugging ourselves out of our natural environment, and there are often so many moments when we can't fall back on our identity. It's just all new. There's more moments where we just have to be present, alert, right? Because unknown and familiar.
Yeah.
And it really accelerates things. If it's at the right time, done. Yeah, it's, I can see that. Wonderful. So you wanted to ask something about the renouncing?
Yes, to see where there may be any resistance.
I don't feel that about you right now. You're just fine. Just keep going. Yeah. Just enjoy. You're in a good place right now. Just keep just enjoying the deepening. Don't look for problems and just enjoy and love it. And then your next vasana will just come up. Be rest assured, right? And if we get entangled, we'll deal with it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. Thanks. Welcome back. Or you're never back, never gone. But okay, we're at 4670. Hello, is that in London maybe? Hello. Okay, we'll come back later. But we're not in New York. This one is 917. Hello, 29.
That's me.
That's Christine, right? Yes.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Can I connect and then I have a question?
Mm-hmm. What's your question?
What you were saying with Ursula really resonated with me, and I feel that duality that person looking in.
Mm-hmm.
When I meditate, I just I don't know what to do with that. And yet, what you said sounds good, but then I kind of zone out when I hear you say it. And it doesn't stay in my head.
I know it's a little challenging because I have really very quickly taken you everybody and trained everybody in a very Vedantic way of really knowing that you are eternity and everything else is just programming. But we're working now on the horizontal plane, and because you're going to continue to remain in the body after you wake up, you're going to continue to relate to the world to something other. And so we want to refine the person, the psyche, the soul, in a way that it becomes completely devotional and surrendered to what we, let me put it this way. On the heart level, you see, we are not in full union in the heart level, right? There's a duality. We're relating to something. Just the way you know that you can see me, you can give me a hug, you know that you have children, you relate to them. They're all very real to you. There is this one being on this reality that we call God, or an embodiment of that perfection that we can be devotional to. And for some it is Jesus, for some it is Krishna, for some it is another being, you know, Guru Nanak or something. And so there is a sort of a point that is very real to you as the embodiment. It's not a concept or philosophical thing. And this being can also appear and manifest just very much as you, as your your son or your child has manifested in form, or your husband. So now there is this one being, which if it's not just one being as in one point, then think of it as spread out into infinite points, which is the entire manifestation around you, all trees, everything in one unified field. And to be surrendered and giving that the first, let that decide on you, upon your life, then your own individual will to give that over, give over to that. There's a relationship, a dance that goes on. This is what this is, and I know it's a little difficult, but at the same time, it's we're opening a new doorway here. Am I making sense?
It does, and when you're saying it, it does, and then we're done with the conversation, and the call is over, and then I'm like, oh my God, where am I? How do I pull that all in and live by it? So I'm learning how to let it go.
It's not about living by it right away. All you're doing is, and like some people have a lot of 40-day mantra practices, so if they don't do it right now, I just offered it for 7 days. Because, so you just do and sit and do this practice very simply as just follow the instructions. The other reason is also because in the West there's a Christian programming. And I want to also eradicate the false ideas around it and bring you closer to what is truly happening and what's truly real, opening up doorways for you so that you can actually understand, especially you, for example, understand what it is you were born into and what is all the false layering on top of it. So if there are some people here that really don't even enjoy sitting and just letting go, and that's even maybe their meditation sucks them into such a state of samadhi they can't even, conceive of anything. Well, then good. Then just sit like that, right?
Could that be me? Could that be me? My issues? I don't know why this is so difficult for me. It just seems.
That's what you're renouncing. You're renouncing the difficulty. You renounce whatever arises.
Okay.
You see, you have an issue with it. Renounce that. That's what you give away.
Yes. Yes.
Simple,
okay.
Right? Simple.
It sounds so simple, but it's just the practice is not. It's complicated.
The practice is not complicated, Christine. It is you having to see it, recognize when you're stuck, and then to make a decision to not side with that issue, but to let it go. There's only two things needed. Are you aware of that you're stuck, and are you going to go with the enemy, or are you going to stay yourself, be yourself?
Right. I think the enemy is more comfortable because I've been doing it for so long, and yet I don't want to be there anymore.
Well, that's why you have to do the practice.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, that's the old age-old discussion on I want it easier. So I think this is New York. This must be then Danielle. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi, yes, it is Danielle. I wanted to connect, and I also do have a question.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's your question?
When I was away over Memorial Day weekend, I don't know if maybe I had a little bit of a similar experience to what you described with Ruth Ann. I was out of my normal kind of sphere of reference, and I felt a lot of kind of bliss, and I was able to, I felt like really focused on the light, and I feel like I was doing some sort of renouncing in my own way because this is before the practice was introduced. And I guess I just have doubt coming up around it. So I was wondering if you could
around
the way the experience felt for me. I want to make sure that I'm not falling into those pitfalls of those blissful experiences and being.
Let me ask you so you learn how to discern that for yourself. Discernment is very very important, right? What is false and what's real. So when you experienced that bliss, was that, I'll just ask you a yes or no, was that true bliss? Or was it a toxic, hyper bliss?
It didn't feel toxic.
It didn't feel toxic, right?
Right.
No, because if you're in a blissful state, let's say somebody is in a, the mind can copy experiences, you're completely right, right? And so we can have these, I mean, drugs do that. Not that I have experiences with it, but, you know, you know about it. Is that they, you know, you have an experience of a high or like a great feeling, but it comes when you really look closely, there is a lot of problems there. The people are still full of ideas and of how they see things, and there's so much person there. But if you're just a very innocent, happy person, you're innocent, you're just relaxed. Your being is not contracted, just relaxes, and you're just here. And just clean, there's a cleanness. You can look yourself in the mirror and there's just a cleanness there. Then that's a real bliss, and it can be a quiet or it can be a very loud and strong bliss.
Yes, I think that's what I felt was, it was not contracted. And that's when you asked me to check between
Good.
Whether it was a toxic bliss or not. I can remember from that time that I was not contracted. It was more of a relaxing into
Good.
Really being able to let go of whatever came up.
Beautiful. So for you, you have a signal of checking if you're contracted or not. And that's very common for a lot of people. And let's say if somebody on the call here right now wouldn't know that, and then you just go into your core, check your alignment and check your breath. And all that, that will indicate, if your breath is uneven, will indicate that you're not in truth, right? So these are simple mechanical things. So, good. So I wanted to also affirm or like point to that when you, this is part of the power modules, if we go back into the earlier modules, is that when we actually, our energy, our ties, our energetic body is untying itself from objects and from people and places, that you are actually, it's sometimes it's actually necessary in order to actually truly progress and continue to progress. So you notice how great you could actually sense your state of evolution in that, in how much light you carry now by just taking yourself out of a normal environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of nice, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And any other questions? Or that was it?
No, not right now. Thank you.
Awesome. Good. Thanks, Danielle. Thanks. Bye. So this is Louise now. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Aratima. Thank you so much for the depth of the explanation you gave earlier. That was awesome.
Did I cover everything?
Oh, I think as much as we can take, really, I can take for the moment.
Okay.
I do have a question, though, and it was from something that you said on yesterday's call when you were speaking about your life, and at some point there's nothing but service. Mm-hmm. And if you could, is that because from the heart and there's only heart, because you see everything as truth, and that is the service that you provide. You're just service as you walk down the street. Is that what you meant?
It started like that. At some point, you make a decision. There is a, like everything, there's always a fork in the road. You make a decision because you become aware that you've gone down into illusion so many times. I'll just speak not in third person myself. I went down to illusion so many times, tried it over and over again, thinking that, oh, no, this is okay, too. I can be in a little bit in illusion. I can also live a little bit in truth, and fell on my nose over and over again. So at some point you realize, okay, you can only be, you know, alive or dead. So I'd like to be alive. And so you make a choice. And as you do this and you go deeper into living, something falls away. The person that wants things for herself or for personal pleasure in order to consolidate my own story, my own life, it just disappears. It's just, I don't know, it's just you turn around, it's like gone. And at some point you notice, oh, I seem to be living like this now. And is that what I was speaking about that yesterday? Is that what was answered, would answer your question?
Yes. I think so. So it's just you're being, and you're no longer in any form of separation. That everything you see and experience, you know as God, and that even in and of itself is service too.
That's correct. That beingness is service in itself. Now, because it does not. I have to say something here that it's not like there's a lot of in the beingness in the body, right? Think of it like in my entire belly or in my body, there is a complete sense of lightness and pleasantness. But the mechanism of the mind that keeps functioning in order to engage in duality, right? All my senses, mm-hmm. I talk to you right now in duality, right?
Mm-hmm.
As long as that mechanism exists, there's always a choice of what do I do? Do I do this or do I do that? And so there's an automatic pilot, or you go into automatic pilot to serve the whole. And
mm-hmm.
But like I said, we never know when there's another vasana arising. As long as there's a physical body, the body is a bunch of karma. The body will slowly more and more turn into light. There's a certain threshold at some point when the body is really, and that's not a, I've never really brought this up here, but it's actually not pleasant where the body, when the bones start to turn to light, like the teeth crack and bones become liquefied, that's a process that's not pleasant at all. Yeah. So there is at some point a threshold that I guess nobody here in this course is actually going to in this life, but I actually did practice. I know how to do this, and I was trained in it. But I don't do it as aggressively anymore. But I do mm-hmm. have a constant transmutation of my body, and that's hence my name. I think Mother Divine Light and Divine Fire. There's a transmutation that goes on, and how do I get to that? When that happens, when you actually go over a certain threshold, that there's the body so washed out and it's just light itself, you know, that cannot be photographed anymore. Then all these human, you know, ways of choosing and all those, they just go away completely, right?
Mm-hmm. And so when you speak even of your name, then is Dharma really an essence rather than how I used to think of it, like as a purpose? In life?
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah, that's right. Because life doesn't have a purpose. I'll say it more like this. It has no purpose than being itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, because what is action? If you think of an action, like what am I supposed to do with my life? That's a person speaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it is really like, I don't know, like a flower being there. Of course, it comes and grows and withers away. But it is... it's just, yeah, it goes more and more into isness I guess we're entering the realm of poetry now. I guess that's where I'd like to go if I want to talk about it.
Thank you. I will leave that. That was so amazing.
Okay. Thank you, Louise. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so we have now... somebody with no number and no things. Is this hello? Can you hear me? I'm not sure who this is.
Yeah, is it me again, Kat?
Yes. Oh, Kat, yeah. Hi there. Okay. You're in nowhere's land. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. So I'm thematically in line with this call because my question, first of all, when you were talking with Ursula, I had like a choking sense of like grief, like around my heart or in my throat, because it's got to do with you know, thinking versus not thinking, being out of mind. So when I think I'm out of mind, I'm thinking. So how can you be out of mind when you're going, oh, I'm out of mind? Or because I'm in this body and I have senses, so my smell and my hearing and all that is constantly, you know, it feeds me information. I think I'm out of mind, but then again, I get confused with that interface of being and being in duality.
Yeah. You are relating to your senses. There's somebody relating. Of course you have senses and all these impressions start happening. Think of somebody walking on the other side of the road on the sidewalk. You can now be cat relating to this being, to this person, and having a relationship and a talk and a story with it. Or you can just be cat and have that person walk by. So stop relating to the sense impressions that are happening and don't make a story out of it. There's no, it just will all automatically happen, just the way digestion happens and the heart beats. There's nothing to figure out and think and locate yourself. You're trying to do something where you need to take your fingers off completely, you know, from consciousness.
You, normally, I don't. I'm very aware that everything is a story, and you know, oftentimes, whether good or bad, I just recognize, you know, oh well, this is how I'm interpreting it, or this is what, you know, I think I'm experiencing. However, at the moment, I can feel an emotion. I feel, you know, I'm not exactly sure what it is, and it's okay not to have a story about it, but I'm mm-hmm. aware of it, and it's like, okay, there's something with this subject or connecting with you right now, that or listening to this theme of being either in the mind or being just here experiencing and continuing to, you know, correct or aim for being heart-centered and truthful and light and joyful. But I'm feeling something.
Good, you're alive. Yeah, that's
yes.
Beautiful.
So alive.
Yeah, and you'll feel good feelings and bad feelings, and it'll continue like that. Yes, if you don't make a story out of it, that's good. You're alive.
But isn't this course or this class, as we are doing our practices, I hear so much on Facebook, if people are gauging or judging or seeking or rejecting, you know, or affirming other people's experiences, and aren't they just like, they're like, everybody's having a story, and it is?
I'm not quite sure how this relates to what you're experiencing.
At the moment,
yeah.
That was a thought. So that was back to, you know, we're all having to think. And if we think, we're from our person versus just existing.
Thinking happens, just like I said, like going to the bathroom. It just happens, but you can... You can react to the thinking, and that causes identification. Just the way, let's say, you read these things on Facebook, you can just read it and you can be just pretty blank about it, and you're totally aware. Somebody asks you, what did you read? You can repeat it, or you can add now judgment to it, and you just try to figure out, where does it fit? How do I fit to it? Like, did I like it or not? Is this right or wrong? What's my philosophy? Then you have, that's the suffering part. If you refrain from that and you just read it, then there's just function of thinking, and that's beautiful.
Perfect. And can we just connect?
Yes,
please?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Remember that space right before you fall asleep, or in the morning when you wake up before the eye really arises, that kind of very innocent place. Just side with that. Don't try to figure things out so much. The less you know, the less you understand. Nobody will ever ask you what you think. Nobody cares. Doesn't even matter. So try to shut that all out and just be more like right before you fall asleep, the kind of just the pure cat, right?
Okay. Thank
good.
You.
You're welcome. Okay, so, and Kasri. Hi, Kasri.
Hi, Ratima.
Mm.
Thank you for yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, I'm sorry, I was so connected to this call and so at peace. And then all of a sudden, I had my bed sheets on the clothesline and it started to downpour. And I just rushed out and got my sheets in. And now I'm trying to regroup myself now.
So life is perfect. Don't try to be anything in particular.
Okay, well, I did want to connect, and I did have a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
So what should we do first?
Oh, I'm already connecting. Yeah. But you can also speak. Go ahead. Because I have so many more people here online. My crazy.
Yes.
It's so busy. I won't even make it in an hour and a half. So let's so keep going.
I'm not sure if I've ever really found the point in my belly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I feel it in my heart. And I'm pretty sure I've found the cave of Brahman, and I've been mm-hmm. in those two places to meditate, but I'm not sure if I found the power center.
Okay, why don't we just do this? Just touch your navel and just press a little bit on the navel and then go a little bit down. Just somewhere around that area, and just kind of bring your attention into the center of the belly. Somewhere it just feels nice. There's just such a sense of niceness there. It's kind of cozy. You feel that?
Maybe a little.
Yeah, it's just very subtle. Good. And then you choose that, and you just meditate on that. You just rest your attention there. If you keep resting, you take your hand away, just keep resting your attention there. Then you might find that it becomes a little bit warm.
Okay.
Mhm.
Okay. So maybe I'll Okay. And my question was, well, perhaps I'll just need to re-listen because I was also having a hard time with renouncing and doing that exercise, and then, like, is it on the in-breath I call in Divine Mother, and then on the out-breath I'm renouncing, and every breath is one or the other?
You know, it's so complicated. Oh, my goodness. And you have to, you know, eat 3 pieces of rice and wear purple colors and, you know, change the color of your roof. No, we don't have to do all that. No, you just kind of, you know, you just come into an attitude of letting go of everything that arises in your psyche, you know, and it's your, like right now, you regroup yourself because you had to run out of the bed sheet and all this. You just let go in that moment of trying to be something in particular, you know, trying to regroup even, like, let it all go, let be yourself at any given moment. Life is always moving. It will always change you around. Will, you know, tossle your hair up, and you will always change. And so just be okay with that. But the thing is, there's this habit of contraction to be in a certain way. And you're renouncing that. You're just renouncing that. You just side more with the sacredness. If it's not the Divine Mother itself, just have a sense of sacredness, something that's larger than you, and that you kind of, I find that when you meditate in your heart, the head goes slightly down anyway, right? There's a sense almost of devotion or something to that space within you, and you just kind of offer yourself to it.
Okay, thank
yeah?
you.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Okay. Thanks, Kathy. And we have 4477. Hello.
Oh, hello. I think that's me.
Yes.
Me. Hi, Kim. Hi.
Oh, hi, Kim. Yes, hi there.
Hi. Thank you so much for your explanation earlier. Thank you. It was so helpful. It was
good.
Everything you said was perfect. Thank you so much.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just hoping to just sit with you for a while, if I could, please.
Okay. What comes to me right now in this moment is, and this is something that is done in the East, but also in the West, there's always singing and using the voice, you know. So when we come to this place where we're already like spending, you know, our life in this surrender, then singing comes, like, I'm just going to sing like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You might find something that really, it's very heart-centered also, you know, this particular kind of mantra. Something that helps to kind of keep the kundalini at least always in the heart, you know, so that it doesn't burn so hard, you know. So
That was beautiful.
I think that would be a nice mantra for you to just chant whenever you feel like it. Don't make it a big practice. Just kind of let your heart sing, you know, when you're joyful, like, you know, like dancing and all that stuff. So something like that, okay?
So. Lovely. Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is now in Glen Rock. This is Antonia. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for calling me. Thank you. I want to connect, and then I don't know if it's a question or if it is a comment or that I have.
We'll find out.
Okay.
So, yeah, speak. Let's see what it is.
Since Kim has been talking about her experiences that she is going through right now in her life, and then earlier in the call when you were explaining about the kundalini, I had a, 10 years ago, I had an experience where I was experiencing all that. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, they diagnosed me being crazy. And I ended up in the mental institution. And they were going to leave me there forever because sometimes I was very depressed and sometimes I was very happy. And but then I couldn't function in life and I had to completely quit working. And talking about story, oh, my story was huge. Mm-hmm. Oh, I had my story better than anybody else. Mm-hmm. All that is gone. But ever since that happened, I'm not the same person.
And of course not, because you went through an experience. So are you saying you're different, better, worse?
Oh, a lot better. But it was really hard when I was going through. But I never heard of kundalini. You're the first one that talk about that. I never heard of all these experiences before. So I had no idea.
Most doctors, I would say none of the doctors really know. Maybe, I don't know, one on this continent or maybe three, I don't know. But most people don't really know about it. But yeah, people in mental institutions have kundalini that is basically where their sense of identity is cracked open in a way that they cannot find themselves back. It's like you meditate and you can't come back. And you get lost in your vasanas from past lives and these different altered, because you're the ego is an entity, but you have many entities. You've been many people in many lives. These are all entities, right? And then you engage with other entities and all this. So then there's this confusion. Who am I? There's no center point.
Yeah, and so
this is insanity, and that's horrible. For the person, it can be quite confusing, or maybe or not. I don't know. I mean, I can't talk for every person who experiences this, but you know, that's why we want to make sure that there is we follow a proper protocol. You know, when we do this kind of work. Yeah, so I'm glad. Yeah, but you're different.
I had no idea, and then I was awake for 7 nights. And nothing, no medicine was going to put me to sleep. Nothing he was going to put me to sleep. Nothing. And that's when they said, she don't belong in the world. She needs to go to a mental institution because she can't function in society. And I knew it was very real what I was feeling, but I couldn't explain what I was feeling and stuff like that. So this has been really present the last couple of weeks probably because I was like, I feel those needles on my legs. I feel the shakiness. I feel the, but this is a long time ago. I mean, I'm talking 10 years ago. Not now. Mm-hmm. Now, the way that I say I'm different is because I love meditating, being peaceful and quiet. Love mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. I had somebody mentioned to me just last week, and that's the reason why I say I'm different now, is because she was like, so exciting. I'm going to Hawaii, and I'm going to go for 4 weeks, and no, more like 4.5 weeks. And before I would have said, oh, I wish I can go. I wish I can be there. And I was like, well, good for you. I'd rather go sit and be silent.
Yeah, I know. Because people, when they travel, they want to have an experience. That's all the reason why people spend money to have an experience. And it's for 4 weeks, and maybe it's good. Maybe it's okay, you know. Maybe.
I would have said before, oh, I wish I can be you. I wish I can do the same. And now I'm like, well, it's okay. I hope you have fun.
But you already have the experience of Hawaii already, and maybe better, right? So this is, I understand what you're saying. So, well, I'm glad you, I can just imagine it was pretty very hard going through that.
I went through that, Aratima, that I went through Kundalini awakening. Is that what happened? Because I don't know. That's why I say it's a question or it's a comment.
I would say what you every mental insanity or outbreak or something where this happens, Kundalini is involved. Or let's put it this way, it could be that in a past life you did some Kundalini practices and some other tendencies and all this all came together, and the main thing that happened is that you didn't keep your center and you got lost in the Maya of your own identifications, and that's obviously a karmic event that you went through, and then you probably had some other good karmas because of positive negative karmas that brought you to this moment right here. I mean, you have to have some good karma to be here, right? In order to because this is a place of wholeness and awareness and becoming who you are and knowing who you are. So. You might in the process of meditating and continuing to become more conscious, skim over some memories of this experience, sometimes maybe in the body, like what the body went through, and you might confuse it as it's happening again. Don't get tricked. Just know that this is washing out. These are imprints, right, that can wash out.
Oh, it's not happening now. No, it's not happening now.
But it could. It could be that you feel subtle similarities or something like that. But it doesn't have to. Well, I'm just saying.
Okay. No, that's the reason why I'm here is because all that I went through. And then when you said it in the health call that really resonates with me. And sometimes we demand... And I'm not really demanding, but I kind of challenge God a little bit. I was like, okay, what is going on with me? Mm-hmm. I know this is not real. Either you're going to make me well physically, because I was about ready to take my life at that moment, or my spirit is whole, and I'm going to go somewhere where spirits can serve you because I can't serve you physically.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got better, and I'm still here.
There you go.
But this is a long time ago, like 10 years ago or more.
Yes.
So, and here I am.
Well, thanks for sharing that. Thanks, Antonia. Good.
So I didn't know what I went through at that moment.
Is it clearer now? You're good with this now?
So I think so.
You think so?
I will continue. I will continue. Just clear.
You know, if you can, no, it's okay. You, you can, you see, the mind always demands answers, right? But you can also just know that it's like things that we throw out. Something happened last year. You go back to the garbage dump and try to figure out what was it. You know, it's not really worth your time. Just know where are you going is the question, right? That's more important. Where do you focus on?
Okay. Well, I love this. I love this moment right now. Yeah, I won't change it for anything in the world. Whatever happens, it happens. And that's the reason why I'm here today. And I'm happy.
Good. That's perfect. Okay. Thanks, Antonia. Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. 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 Okay. So we're in Alberta. Hi. Calgary.
Hi. It's Winona.
Hi there.
Hi. I think I have a couple questions, but really I think what I'd like to do is connect. I'm feeling on this call just so much energy moving and really shaky, and there feels like there's something moving on up and out. So I'd love to connect, and we'll see if the questions are relevant maybe.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, everything's good. What's the question?
Okay. thank you for that. The questions are, one of them was just related to the conversation you had with Linda yesterday about losing power after meditating, like not anchoring in the power and letting, I think it was, I'm not sure if you said ego stealing it or whatever, right? And just wanted to make sure I understood, because that really resonated with me. I feel sometimes like I've been spinning my wheels lately with my meditation practice, that I was actually in stillness more in the first 3 months than I have been in the last couple. So, you know, in King Well, so if that, I'm assuming something is happening, where, because I feel like I can reach it sometimes, that stillness, and then it just, the mind, right? The mind just keeps coming back in, and I'm better at ignoring it, but it still feels like then by the time I come to meditate again, whatever I've accumulated is gone.
You know, there are, when you, as you progress in your meditations, you will, each time you come to a next plateau, there will be challenges, right? Because you're hitting, you're trying to expand, and there's a resistance, and it'll show up as movement in the mind or as sensations in the body, like shaking, for example. And, but there's another thing that is also important, is that, you know, to really look at, we need to, again, the power module speak about it. You need to follow up with action in your life and adjust your life. There was a lady, I think, in the healing group who talked about she can't stand looking at furniture anymore since she's been doing the Enlightened Healing Package. And so it's very important for her to actually really change and get rid of that furniture now. It's better to have nothing in your house than having this old energy, which is full of this old identification energy. So basically, she's going to have a very hard time being happy in this place now. So we need to adjust, change, and do things differently. And sometimes there's something we need to complete or start in order, like to have to be physical. Because the physical actions, think of one wholeness, you know, we need to, the meditation is initially just a sitting time, but later you're meditating 24/7, your entire life is a meditation. So everything you do has to be in full alignment with truth. So you might have to look, if it's very busy, check again, is there something you're ignoring, you're in denial with, or something like that, or you're making importance, there's still some part of your persona that's so important and you're serving, you know, you're identifying too much with, it could be different things, so you want to look at that.
Thank you for that. Actually, it's interesting because I still have quite a cluttery basement, and I've been going down there the last few days and just knowing that I have to clear it, but knowing I also need physical help and not sure where I'm going to get it, like to lift things and move them on out of the house. And so that totally resonates. Like, yeah, I'm finding there's so much more that I just don't want in here. So
that is... That's the first thing you want to, I don't put Craigslist or something, I don't know. Like, yeah, you take care of that and you'll see, it'll just be, you'll go right into meditation afterwards, like, oh, done.
Okay. So the physical aspect really, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
It
does
becomes
sense
more obvious. It becomes more obvious as you are quite steady in your core. It becomes more obvious how your physical world must match. It starts to penetrate. The light will begin to penetrate the world around you, and you're touching it because you're not disconnected. So you're starting to touch and become conscious, and everything becomes your larger body. And if something that's not right, you'll, especially women, more than men, but men too, but especially women, they will sense what's around. I can feel if my basement is full or empty. I feel everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all
me
expansion.
Too.
Yeah. There you go. Good. Okay.
I'll
let
totally
you go.
Okay. Thanks so much. Okay. Thank
okay.
You.
Thanks. Yeah. Bye. Bye. Okay. So this is in Oak Ridge. Linda. Oh yeah. Hi there.
Oh, hi, for me.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, thanks. Yes, I just would like to connect. And then I had a bit of a question when you were speaking with Ursula. I'm not sure whether my heart went into a contracted or an expansive state. I'm just feeling some energy there. I'm just trying to figure out which it is.
Well, I was thinking that it probably went into expansion because we expanded further when Ursula and I were sitting
right.
together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it was it feeling unpleasant to you?
A little bit, but I can feel it almost pushing out. The way I'm seeing it is like pushing the boundaries, pushing the edges out of the field, and even moving up into my throat, my jaw. It's not frightening or anything. I just feel it's, yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
How about right now, this moment, renounce all, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Does it push out? What does it mean? What's the shape of it? Try to renounce all that. Doesn't matter. Can you
Perfect.
Do that? Yeah. It feels so much lighter, doesn't it?
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Let's sit for a moment in this. Yeah, just being here. Perfect. Good. Thank you, Linda. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And there's a number 44791. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Oh, hi, Angela. Hi there.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
Just like to connect. Hello.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you.
Thanks. And I saw Rosemary just dropped off. You decided to not lift your hand anymore. It's okay. We have in Toronto, this is 6477. Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, who's that?
Catherine.
Oh, Catherine. Hi.
Hi, just connecting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. The
okay.
call it has been great. Beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, great call.
Yeah.
Are you seeing light now, Catherine?
No.
You're quite moving into an expansive state right now, eh? So you find your meditations easier and your life kind of better?
I really like to sit in meditation.
Just keep going. It's really expanding nicely. So whatever you're doing is good.
Oh, thank you. It's great to hear.
Yeah, no, I know, because you've had a rough beginning. But
yes.
I know you're really moving quite nicely. It's expanding, and just keep doing it. I wouldn't be surprised if you going to see some, you know, like a lighter, brighter under your eyelids, or just kind of more blissful. Just, well, hey, at the end, it's all coming, right?
Exactly. And you know what? I have to say, you really, really helped me yesterday on that healing call.
Did we
Thank
talk
you.
Yesterday? We did, right?
Yes.
Yes, of course.
We did. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I don't remember what it was, Catherine, but...
Anyway, okay. We yeah. It was great. Thank you.
Awesome. Wonderful. Thanks for letting me know. Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Yes. Yeah. And is somebody anonymous here? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Who's that?
Hi, it's Anya. Hi, Ratna.
Hi there. Hello. Yeah.
Hi, I would like to connect. I would like to connect, please.
Okay. How's that?
That is soothing.
Okay. Yeah, it'll help the meditation. Thank you. Okay, Anya. Okay. Okay, bye. Okay, so this is Jen. Hello.
Hi, Aratima.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
I was just smiling at you, what you were doing with Anya then. It was beautiful. I would like to connect. Sorry.
Oh, I was just saying, sometimes something else is coming up, right, for somebody. So we never know.
You never know. Absolutely. So if I may connect, I did have some questions, but they seem to have been answered over both calls. And I feel I have a better understanding now of the renunciation process. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Is
there anything left, or it's pretty clear, right?
I think basically I came to a point of I don't have to go looking for anything. It'll just come up and I'm with it.
There you go. You got
it. Process.
Thanks for saying that. Don't go looking. It just comes up. Whatever comes up, you surrender that. Yes, perfect.
Yeah, and the not going looking's been really sitting with me more and more over the last few weeks. So.
Good, yeah. Yeah, very nice, Jen. Yeah, keep doing that. That's good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. And we're in Waldorf, 30164. Hello.
Hi, Aratima. It's Melissa.
Melissa, hi there. Yes.
Hi. I just wanted to connect.
There you go, that deepened a bit, eh? Good. Thanks, Melissa. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bye. And this is Ruth Jean. Hello?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi. I am in the storage. Aratima, mm-hmm. I thank you for everything and everyone. I don't know where I am, but my five senses, I don't have any interpretation or anything like that. If it's needed, I go into it. But like I go to the beginning when you say you are us and your words and the energy of everyone, the learning. I was just I've been a widow for 11 years, and all of a sudden I have a man come in into my life. And the Kundalini that you explained, I physically for the first time experienced it. But there is no interpretation of I've got nothing. I'm nothing, and I'm just go back to the one breath and one dust.
Good, yeah. Just stay empty, yeah. That's good. Yeah, don't get distracted.
Thank you. Can I connect with you too?
Oh, what's that? Connecting,
connect
yes.
Yes,
good.
Wow, the sun just sunshine on me with a beautiful. Thank you.
You can see it? Okay, thanks. Okay.
Bye. I love you.
Bye. I love you too. Bye. Okay. Juan, hello. I haven't talked to you in a while. How are you?
Yes, hello. Hi, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for yesterday too. It really helped me with my arm.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been many months with a very bad pain there.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Well, I would like to connect and also, share that I feel that things are moving in a new direction from the last month or so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, what I noticed and I would like to share is that, when I sit down in the morning for doing the meditation, I usually start with all the mantra thing because it helps me to calm down my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do the 40-day mantra first, and then a little bit of Guru Rinpoche mantra from Sambhava, and then the ones you suggested me, the Wahe Guruji. I do the MP3 listening, and what I notice is that finally it's taking me very, very deep down. And and actually, last week, I think, was like, I think I started seeing with the inner eye, arrows of blue light coming up from almost everywhere. And it was a very, violet or thing, that color. And what I noticed also is that sometimes I just, my reciting goes, I cannot recite anymore. I just need to go silent and I just continue.
Yeah.
And also, what I do when I would like to ask you about this. When I start, in order for me to raise the frequency and go with it and silent my mind, and I see my mind still busy, what I do is I try to bring, all the good sensations of being with this teacher, of you, or, just good feelings after good feelings are like checking with the compassion feeling, the love. And finally, when I get into the Wahe Guru mantra, because I got this singing with some guys I found in YouTube. And it's so sweet. It really takes me down. Very deep, takes me deep, what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wanted to share how you feel about that. And I feel the things that you bring to us in the modules, even if I haven't read it yet or listened to it, somehow it's coming to me.
Yeah, I know. Yes, yes.
It's amazing, because they say, oh my God, now she's talking about this. And I was just having this in my mind. Many times, and I say, oh, this is real magic, and I love it, really.
I'm laughing because I have a student, and she's not a, yeah, well, I would say she's a longtime client, and she's been studying with me in more informal ways, and she isn't even in the course, and she just gets the gist of it each month. I said, what are you doing, peeking into it all the time? She's laughing, right? Yes, that's right. It's, everything is instantaneous, so you're just getting the download, right? So, yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, well, you just, thanks for sharing this process. No, that's, you are using an advanced meditation when you are seeking to be creative in order to get yourself over and over again into a place of stillness and profundity and whatever works, you know, from singing to breathing to, again, putting your mind again onto the psychic realms of good feelings, you know, anything that can take you deeper, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah. What I do.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good. Yeah. All right. Do you want to connect for...
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yes. Go.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's connect. Yeah.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of light. You don't see light in your meditations?
Yeah, I'm starting to see like sparkles of light now and then. And like that day, that was a lot. I think I even saw maybe the inner channel, the core channel, I think, because it was like violet and very thin. And the sense that I got was the different from visualization.
Yes.
In the sense, there was like an emptiness or a great space around, like my body was not just hollow, but very spacious. And then there was a sense of, like if you are in a cliff or like that, like a very empty kind of thing of a space, and then light was there.
Yes, like exactly. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, so whatever you're doing works. Perfect, Juan. Thank you. That's awesome. Wonderful. Thanks, Juan. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you just keep digging away. This is California, San Jose. Is this Rosemary with a different number? Or who is this? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, who's that?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, this is Sally.
Sally, hi, Sally. Oh, yes, okay. Yes.
Well, what happened was we've had a very windy day here, and my phone, anyway, malfunctioned a couple of times, and I got cut off, so I kept, I decided to go in my cell. But anyway, I wanted to connect, and I have a question, and I know in the interest of time, maybe I should ask the question first. I had, when I was 18 years old, I had an experience that was quite traumatic, and I won't go into it, but it was, anyway, I was left with kind of a disconnect between me and divinity, especially between me and Mother Mary. And it was because I just felt abandoned. Mm-hmm. And I just realized that this week when I hit this module, when we received this module, I thought, oh, this is wonderful. And then when I got to the, I forget which one it was. The
heart activation?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And I started trying to practice that. I hit a wall. And I wondered why. And I went back, you know, and I've meditated over it, and I realized that I think that is where it began, and I wondered if maybe you could help me clear that.
Yes, what I'd like to say is that this wall that you experience is a trick of the mind. It's like a temperature, like warm or cold or soft. There's a quality. and the wall is a quality in your experience, but it's not true. So you renounce that. You just offer it up. You just like detach from it. You just know that that's not true. It's an experience. I want you to make it less something that you are in relation with and more into a renunciation, so that you know that you are something larger than that and you gave birth to the experience of disconnect. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, I am. Yes, mm-hmm. I understand.
I'll repeat that again. I want this to go really deep for you, so this is really good. Is that you gave birth to this experience in the past. You gave birth to all the experiences throughout all lifetimes. And, okay, the energy is moving now. And that there is nothing to fear. Because distortions make big shadows, and then we think something eclipses us, but it's not. How do you feel right now?
Kind of neutral. I don't feel any connection, and that was what was bothering me, was that I didn't feel connected with. If you say Divine Mother, okay, I feel more of a connection, but when you say Mother Mary, and I know that we can choose, but it still troubled me because I thought there has to be something wrong if I feel that way, you know?
Yeah.
I
understand. Yeah, and that's good. And that's one of the things I said earlier, that this module is supposed to bring up imprinting that is false. And it's doing it for you, right? It's good because...
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it.
So I'm glad you brought this up, because maybe somebody's listening. There's lots of people that don't talk of life on calls, but they're experiencing things. So this your experience, story is really important, because I know that we either think we're supposed to connect or not. There's still fears of punishment, like deep imprinting in there. And we want to go, like, that's why I said earlier, everything in your experience was given birth to by that oneness. And so how do you feel now?
I feel a little better.
Okay. So whatever else is still there, keep renouncing it. Just sit in whatever moves through you in your emotional space, because it's very emotional in the heart, right? And do not get tricked into that you must do something about it.
Okay. I want to feel connected, because to me that's, you know, it's just about service. And if I'm not connected, I'll still go about doing it, but my heart won't be in it.
Okay. I know what you're saying. I deeply, deeply respect what you're saying. Ego can't serve. Ego cannot connect. So we're trying to get rid of ego. Service will happen when all that goes away. So I'm glad you're not feeling anything at all, because when service happens, it will be arising from the true you. Okay, we're getting rid of some remnants of shadow, because the ego cannot serve. Ego is the one that's worried about what I should be serving, and I think that it should be this way. See, there's some imprinting, and all that is just shove it aside. Shove it. It's like, you know, the big tablecloth of stuff on it. Just rip it off. Let clean up the table. None of that is needed.
Okay. I'll just go about my business and forget about it, huh?
Yes, because you see, you have to trust that your nature is service and love. Know that you will experience your true nature, like somebody else will see their own light at some point, knowing that the light is always there. Service or love and devotion is already here. It's just, you know, it's being shadowed, overshadowed by ego. So just trust it's there. Trust you're a good person, and that there's nothing other in you than to do good, and that you will. We're just getting rid of all the, you know, the surface coverings, you know, which we call ego.
Oh, thank you so much for that.
Okay, good, wonderful. Thanks. Okay, bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye. So good. We're at the end today. This is a long call, but my God, lots of important stuff. So I guess this was a good module to work through with some more effort. And let's just take a deep breath for a moment. And maybe I'll just chant this mantra again to just finish up that I just started chanting with Kim. And we'll just go on with the day. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You can sing with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You might even open your arms, like from your heart to your hands, kind of looking upwards a little bit, open your chest. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Thanks for all the great contribution, great questions. It's wonderful, wonderful light and presence that you are contributing now for everybody. It's just very, very beautiful. Thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your day and night. Okay. Thank you. Bye. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.